Genesis chapter number 6. Appreciate the message and song, Anita, and trusted that encourages us where we are, that God's going to do it again. And we thank the Lord for it. Genesis chapter number 6, preaching through the book of the beginnings. And here we are with some closure, Lord willing, to the 6th chapter in the first book of the Bible, chapter number 6. And we're looking, if you would, at verse number 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in it, in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set the side thereof with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. You ever notice how some people do things and don't want to claim them? God said, what I do, I claim it. Amen. To destroy all flesh wherein is breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee, say amen. I want to be in that but with thee crowd. Will I establish my covenant? Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Let the church say amen. Our Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. The Bible is alive. And Lord, it's our source of strength, of nurture, of substance. We need the book. So help us to listen, to learn, and then to live what we've learned. Give us ears to hear. Cleanse me, empty me, fill me, use me. We've got to go to a lost and dying world after we've finished this service tonight. They need more than our opinions. They need the truth. So help us to learn more of it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We're calling Noah the essential deliverer that God raised up for such a time. It was during this time that the world was altogether evil. The Bible goes so far as to say everybody was doing evil, except for this man and his family. For me as a believer, it says to me that no wickedness in the world should be so bad that it stops us from doing right. So as a world is exceedingly evil, it brings God to action. He decides in a degenerating culture to reveal to the world that he's a disgusted creator. And God chose to create man for his glory, and then man chose to sin against God so much to the point that God says, I repent that I even made man. And yet in the midst of all of that, with God's decision and determined conclusion to destroy the earth, there was a distinct character by the name of Noah. And I love this in the Bible, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Aren't you glad that if you'll do right, grace will find you? Amen. Noah found grace. He found favor in the eyes of God. And by the way, grace is not luck. Grace is not just being next in line and you happen to slide into a miracle. Grace is not coincidence. It's not happenstance. Listen to me. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he made a decision to live for God. You can find that same grace in a wicked world, in a degenerating culture, with sin on every hand. You can live for God. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and this his distinct character put him in contact with direct conversation with God. The secret of the Lord belongeth unto the righteous. God shares his heart with those people who have given their heart to him. And so he says to Noah, let me tell you what I'm going to do. And there's nothing like being in on the in crowd with God. Let me tell you what I'm going to do, Noah. I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to wipe out everybody in the earth. I'm going to destroy man and beast. But let me tell you something. You found grace, and I'm telling you what I'm going to do. And although you know what I'm going to do, you don't have to be in on it. Wow. So last week we began to look at the detailed command of God. This is what I'm going to do to the world, but this is what I want you to do so that you don't get destroyed while I destroy them. I want you to build an ark. We saw last week this ark had specific configuration. Build it out of particular materials. Build it out of wood, but a certain kind of wood. Come on. Don't tell me God's not specific. Yeah, God's specific. By the way, we're worshiping the Lord today. And a lot of people mess up with worship by not necessarily doing the wrong thing, but doing the right thing with the wrong stuff. Somebody say amen. I thank God for the Bible, but make sure you got the right Bible. I thank God for music, but make sure you got the right music. Thank God for clothes, but make sure you got the right clothes. I thank God for language, but make sure you got the right language. And God says, listen to me, this is a flood like man has never seen before. Don't just build it with any wood. Use gopher wood so it will survive the flood. Put pitch on the outside and on the inside so that even what appears to be closed won't allow water to get in. I think, by the way, God's talking to Noah concerning not only him but his family. And I think more Christian people need to find out where they can find some pitch. Amen. Because there's a lot of cracks sometimes in our families, in our homes. And we come to church and we give the appearance that we've got those holes sealed up. And yet we find out that little by little, the devil finds entry points to allow a little bit of carnality and wayward ideology and worldly paradigms to slip in. By the way, it's all over the internet. It's all over the television. It's all over the sitcoms. It's all over the worldly language. It's all over the culture today. Listen to me, if I'm going to have a marriage that lasts the flood and kids that last the flood, I better make sure that I'm building with the right wood and I'm sealing with the right pitch. Amen. No question about it. Particular materials. Precise measurements. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Listen, buddy, I don't want you to build a boat. I want you to build it the size I say. Amen. And the particular, even the particular minutiae God dealt with, by how many levels it should have, and where the window should be, and where the door should be. Amen. God's a God of specifics. Amen. And by the way, that's why we ought to pray specifically to God. God's a God of specifics. There's a specific configuration for this ark. There's sovereign clarification about this flood. Notice he says, I will bring the flood. God says, this is my personal involvement. I'm going to do this. I am going to do this. My personal involvement, my powerful intimation. I will bring the flood of waters. And by the way, there are a lot of things that happen that are not very favorable in the lives of people that the devil gets blamed for, and sometimes it is not the terror of the devil, it is the wrath of God. So God said, don't get this mixed up. When the rain comes from that sky and them floods come up from that ground, don't tie it to anybody but me. I am doing this. That's the sovereign clarification. Now, God went beyond there to make a special covenant with Noah there. And I love this. But with thee, thank the Lord. Everything's going to die but with thee. Everything's going to be destroyed but with thee. Everybody's going to be wiped out except you. Everybody's going to be gone but except you. Everybody's going to drown except you. God established a covenant. We said last week this is an agreement that involves obligations and benefits for the parties involved. Listen to this covenant. This is a covenant with God and with man, and God is obligating himself for the benefit of Noah. Boy, I like them kind of covenants. Amen. Where God says, I'm signing the line and you're going to benefit. By the way, Noah had nothing to offer to God. God had everything to offer to Noah. I don't know about you, sounds like grace to me. All my righteousnesses were as filthy rags. I was shaping in iniquity, sinned, and did my mother conceive me? Dead in trespass. Ephesians says I was dead, I was doomed, I was disobedient, I was depraved, I was devilish, I was downtrodden, I was in despair. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith his great love, he loved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And where grace shows up, mercy is right there with her. Amen. The merciful providence of God, the miraculous promise of God. I'm not only going to take care of you, but of your family as well. The marvelous peace of God. Everybody's going to be in turmoil, but not you. The matchless protection of God. I'm going to get you in an ark that's so big that the most terrible flood won't destroy you. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a day and age of terrible flood. And I'm fearful that too many Christians have given more credit to the flood than they have to God's mercy. Listen to Jeremiah, and don't just quote it when you are depressed, because it applies even when you're not depressed. It is of thy mercies we're not consumed. Let me just break it down to you in plain and simple. You not dead because of God's mercy, all right? And so all them other things you got in the blank to describe why you're still here, your cardio, your saving, your 401k, the good genes you got from your granddad. Listen to me. You are not consumed because of God's mercy. Listen to me. We're reading the news tonight where at least 12 people lost their lives. Listen to me now. It could have been us. We could have been one of those. We're not here today because we drive good. We're not here today because our car has good airbag in it. We're not here today because we made sure we planned our lives right. We're here today because of the mercy of God. And when God's mercy shows up in our lives, we ought to pause at once while and say, thank you, Lord. This is the first time we're hearing this word covenant in the Bible. And God is willfully entering into a covenant. Noah didn't say, God, could you make a covenant with me? God said, you're doing right, and I'm going to make a covenant with you. My mercy is going to show up. Amen. Well, I said this is the book of the beginnings. Aren't you glad that God didn't take 5 books in the Bible to introduce us to mercy? Hey, listen to me. Aren't you glad in 2017 that you got through today because of God's mercy? But this is something God's been at for a long time. Amen. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. The covenant. What a covenant. Look, if you would, tonight further. Let me give you 2 more things in this list, this specific configuration, this sovereign clarification, this special covenant. Tonight I want to give you what I call supreme coordination. I mean, God is orchestrating this entire affair. Now, this is the uniqueness of God. He is becoming the judge for the world while being the protector for his people at the same time. Now, that's not something we can do. When we destroy somebody, we're either going to destroy or protect. God is destroying one group of people and protecting another group of people at the same time. Now, if you're not saying amen to that, you must not realize that you need that same God to be moving today, because he can't be looking at what's going on in our country, in our world, without doing some destroying. Amen. But I draw great confidence from Genesis chapter 6 to know that the eternality of his character not only ensures that he will deal with sin, but at the same time, he will deliver the saints. Amen. Amen. That helps me. Amen. I mean, he can be throwing stones and blocking them at the same time. Amen. It all depends on which group you're in. And Noah's in the good group. And God is coordinating this thing. What kind of coordination, Pastor? Well, I'm going to send a flood, and you're going to build an ark. But it doesn't stop there. I'm going to do what I call some inferior preservation. This is God. You remember Genesis chapter 1? 6 days he created. And repeatedly he said, it was good. It was good. He got to male and female, and he said it was very good. Now he's destroying the world. And he could have just protected his very good stuff. But he says to Noah, yeah, I'm gonna destroy everything, man and beast, but not you and your family. But guess what? I'm going to preserve some of the less than superior things, like the animals. Look at verse 19. Of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark, keep them alive with thee. I'm going to wipe out the whole earth's population. But I'm not going to do it without any wisdom. Now think about this. If I'm going to keep you alive, Noah, I better keep some other stuff alive to make sure that after you live through the flood, you can live afterwards. Listen to me now. You better understand this. When God is in the business of wiping things out, his wrath is not so unfiltered that he hasn't factored in your survival and everything you need to do so. Listen to me. God can judge everybody around, but just rest assured, he's not oblivious to your needs. He knows what you're going through, and his plan will not only ensure that he deals with sin, but it will also ensure that he takes care of his own. So, of every kind, look at this, shalt thou bring into the ark. And by the way, can you imagine Noah thinking as God is giving him these dimensions? I mean, good grief. Three levels? 450 feet long? 75 feet? I mean, what kind of flood is this? And by the way, some of us stagger at the specific commands of God in the midst of his dissertation. And here's what happens. We get so baffled with what he's saying right now that we don't last long enough to where it makes sense. I'm gonna tell you something. It made sense when God said, put two of every ant. Noah's probably going, yeah, I think we do need three levels. You know, God knows what he's telling you to do, and he's not always obligated to explain why he's telling you. But just rest assured, his instructions are always for a reason. Inferior preservation. Notice what he also says. I have written down here. Interesting proclamation of every living thing. Keep them alive with thee. To keep them alive with thee. Isn't that a blessing? I'm going to keep them alive with you. Boy, I love the providence of God. Hey, in other words, I want you to take these animals. And by the way, next, notice what he also says. Take thou unto thee of all of them. In other words, of fowls of every kind, of cattle, of every creeping thing after his kind, two of every sort. Notice what the Bible says. He says, shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Boy, isn't that a good sign of how the Creator is connected with his creation? By the way, there are some two of every kind that us kind don't like to fool with. All right, there's some creeping things he had to bring on that ark. And he didn't have, he couldn't go hire an animal trainer to do it. Okay? But God said, go get them. And watch this now. They're going to come unto thee. I'd have liked to have been there to watch them giraffes and them elephants and those snakes and whatever. Just as Noah says, come on. And they just kind of follow God. Amen. His creation knows his creator voice. Amen. By the way, there's also something else in here, he says. Remember, God's preparing for the future while dealing with the present. Bring two of every kind. Male and female. I mean, the only way to preserve future, you need male and female. That's the way we group them. No, I need more than about 12 amens right there. That's the way we group them. That's how we do it. That's not just with the people, but with the animals too. I mean, if we're going to go forward the way I intended to go, bring male and female. Amen. All right, I'm not going to harp on it. I think I'm preaching to the choir. But I'm not only preaching for y'all, I'm preaching for those who will listen in later. God didn't take 8 books to establish the precedent of male and female. Amen. Intentional provision. Take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, gather it to thee, it shall be for food for thee and for them. Watch this now. Get on the ark, but take plenty of food on the ark with you, because you're going to be on there for a while. And just because I've protected you from the floods that are on the outside, while I'm protecting you from the floods on the outside, I'm going to provide you with the foods on the inside. Amen. There's an incredible picture here. Are you taking notes? There's an inferior preservation. Thank you. Was that you, Cecily? Thank you. One person's taking notes. At least one that will admit it. There's an interesting proclamation. There's intentional provision, but there's an incredible picture. Listen to me now. God's giving a detailed command here. He's telling a man who found grace. And by the way, this also tells me this, that just because I've been doing right and found grace in the eyes of the Lord doesn't exempt me from doing any work. Amen. I think some Christians think, well, since I'm in God's family, I just sit down and enjoy everything. No. God's going to give you the measurements, and God's going to give you the instructions, and God's going to tell you the material, but you need to get up and build. You can't have a marriage that God protects without working. You can't have a home that God blesses without. You can't have a church that God builds without working. But the tragedy of Christians today is we want God to do all the work. Provision. But here's the picture. In this ark will be everything you need to block you from the bad stuff on the outside while building you with the good stuff on the inside. You know what the picture is? The picture is Jesus. Amen. He is that ark, right? By the way, and we need both. Amen. Jesus. When I'm in the ark, it's a picture of being in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen to me now. If any man be in Christ, and by the way, anybody can get on the ark, right? We don't believe that God has elected some to heaven and elected some to hell. Whosoever will, let him come. Listen to me. The door of the ark is open. And by the way, Jesus is not just the ark, but he's also the door of the ark. I am the door. I am the way. I am the gate. I am the road. I am the path. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But listen to me, to disparage the lies of Satan, don't let him make you think you do right. You get on the ark, you'll starve, because no narrow-minded Christian could ever survive life with this wicked system that the world has. Let me tell you something, the ark of God is not only good enough to protect you from the floods on the outside, but it will feed you with the food on the inside. I've never regretted being a Christian. And there's a bunch of lies going on. And by the way, they've not only become so prevalent in the world, but they have become pervasive in the church, where people are going, I want to be a Christian, but I'm not sure about all them dimensions. And by the way, I like what God said. Once you're on and I close the door, you can't fall out and they can't get in. I'm glad when God saved me at the age of 4, he shut the door. And with all of my mistakes and my meandering and my mishaps, I'm glad I may have fallen into the wall of the ark, but I ain't never fallen out. Amen. He shut the door. He's kept me in and he's kept the devil out from getting me. I've given them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But I tell you what, there's great provision in Christ. I'm glad that Jesus didn't just become my ticket to heaven. Amen. He became my onboard service on the way. Amen. I think some people, if they knew just how good the trip was, they'd board the ship. I mean, listen, heaven is a good reason to get saved. But the ride is too. I mean, you don't go to heaven the day you get saved. You just get a ticket in. But you're in the ark. Well, if you're not saved tonight, I hope you'll get in the ark. But if you are saved, quit whining about being on it. I never seen so many whining Christians that actually want to march, to picket and march, as if they got the raw end of the deal being saved. I mean, he not only put you on the boat, he's arranged for your meals. Give us this day our daily bread. My God shall supply all your need. I can do all things through Christ. I am the bread of life. He that eateth of this bread and drinketh of this flesh shall never die. And yet people today are going, I hear those specifics of being a Christian, but I'm not sure I want to get in on all of that because I'm not going to be able to do all those things and survive. Do you really think that God is smart enough and strong enough to protect you from a flood, and yet a God that big and that powerful that can stop a flood from killing you can't feed you while he's protecting you? Now here's the last catch. Specific configuration. Sovereign clarification, special covenant, supreme coordination. And here's, in my opinion, the most important one. It's the only one that really applies to Noah. It's what I call servant compliance. And God, isn't it amazing? God used all of those verses to describe his instructions and used really a phrase to describe Noah's obedience. I like these three words. Thus did Noah. You know, it's amazing that God takes great lengths to say things in the Bible, and there are other times he just goes straight to the point and summarizes a whole lot with a little bit of words. Listen, did you hear all that? All those measurements, all those materials, all those animals, all that covenant, all those details. And then God says, instead of spending all of these verses in Genesis telling you about all that Noah, just everything you just heard me say, he did it. This is what I call careful attentiveness. How do you do all of those instructions if you're not listening? How many of you have served in the capacity of a teacher of any sort? Sometimes serving capacity of teacher. You ever come to a class given the instruction about a test or a project or something that's due and had a student or more raise their hands and go, you never told us that. Now you would consider believing that if not for the fact that in the same classroom there are other people who knew what you never said, did the assignment that you never assigned, and remember the day you said it that never occurred. Now, here's the difference. Somebody was paying attention and somebody wasn't. Now, I'm trying to tell you, the Christian life is not a big fairy tale fantasy life that you close your eyes for and wake up into a voila world and go, look at all that I've gotten. I don't know how God did. Let me tell you something. You want to survive the flood. When God is giving instructions, pay attention. Careful attentiveness and complete adherence. Thus did Noah, and I like God's clarity, according to all that God commanded, so did he. Christianity is not complicated. Now, I didn't say it was easy. I mean, if you're in here and you're trying to serve God and you'd like to tell us it's easy, there are one or two things. One, you have found a secret that you need to sell. Or two, you're just lying. I forgot, there's a third one. You really ain't serving God. And you think it's easy because you don't know what you're doing. It's not easy to serve God. But it's not complicated. The Christian life is not complicated. Here we are, six chapters into the Bible, and God has given us a summary of the Christian life. Do everything I told you to do. Now, I know that sounds so elementary, but let's just be specific. The times in your Christian life when you have been most privy to God's protection, his provisions, and his peace, just think back. It was the times when you were obedient. And every time you ended up in a bush of thorns or a corner you couldn't get out of or stranded out on the road out of gas, and I'm not talking about physical situation, I'm talking about spiritual situation. Every time you found yourself going, oh God, I can't believe I'm here. Think back. Even if it was just one little detail, you said, okay, God, I'll obey nine. But that one, kind of extreme. You know where you found yourself? In a mess. Because listen to me. The only Bible obedience is complete obedience. Right? And the longer we're Christians, the more qualified we think we are to innovate. See, when you first got saved, you didn't know enough to improvise. But you done read the Bible enough times and tried a few tricks that appear to work. So you're not going to rob God. You would never do that. You're too smart for that. You're just going to delay paying him. That's disobedience. You're not going to lie. You're just going to exaggerate. You're not going to quit church. You're just going to miss a bunch of it. It's disobedience. And God says, you have to start paying attention to me. I think sometimes the Christian life is platformed to look like big moments, mountaintop experiences. I tell teenagers that all the time. You cannot characterize your Christian life by the decisions you make only at youth conference and camp. Because those are not the real you. See, if you got to wait till June when we go to teen camp to get right with God, you're going to miss a bunch of student instructions before June. And I think sometimes the Christian life is like that. It's Wednesday. You know what that means? I got Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to act a fool, because by the time Sunday comes, God going to give me a word from the Lord. And I'm going to run down to that altar on Sunday morning, and God's going to erase that crazy week I had, clean my slate, and give me 3 days this time to do it. Listen to me. You're going to have to learn on Monday to tune your ear to heaven. Amen. You better quit. Listen, God better not be 911. He better be speed dial. Okay? He better not be the one you call when your back's against the corner. He better be the one you check in moment by moment. Day by day! That's what the Christian life is. And I look back to my Christian life, I think of decisions that were made and life-changing occurrences that happened, and I can color it with all kinds of fancy characterizations, but at the end of the day, the success of the child of God is simple. Do what God says. And ladies and gentlemen, we are much more privileged than Noah. We got a whole Bible. Amen. And we're not the only ones in the whole world doing right. We're in church on a Wednesday night, and there are four sections in the building with people in it that decided to do right. Noah had a wife, three sons, and three wives, and that was it. And he did it. Now, what's your excuse? Well, it's just so hard being a Christian. And it's a lot of dress standards and can't listen to this and can't go here. And every time I open the Bible, it's another rule I didn't know we had. Well, go on back to Noah's time with your bad self. You hear me now? Eight people got on that boat. There were more obedient animals in the earth than there were humans. I think we're probably about right now. I've seen more Christian-like obedience out of my dog than I have some church members. I'm talking about to God, not to me. And yet we have a soul and the privilege to experience God. That's why he said you got to be converted like children. I don't care how long you've been saved. Don't ever quit calling yourself a child of God. And listen to me, the most innocent, attractive characteristic of a child is his innate instinct to depend on his parents. And I don't care how far down the road you've gone in the Christian life, you still need to lean on your daddy. And the rain's going to come down in a couple of weeks. We're going to watch Noah. And oh my soul, he was glad that in not one little iota did he disobey God. Now, here's what I want us all to do. I want us to go home tonight. And I want us to brainstorm. And instead of making ourselves look good because we are so much better at Christianity than the worst person that we picked, let's evaluate our lives and say, God, show me an area or the areas of my life where plain and simply, I'm disobeying you. And help me to quit expecting you to take care of me if I don't trust you enough to obey you. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Our Father, I can flaunt my church attendance, my ministry involvement, all the routine mechanical Christian gestures that we have grown good at doing. But maybe tonight, instead of bragging on all the things we've done, we need to admit the things we've disobeyed. Because there's coming a time where the only safety we will be afforded is that which we've procured through complete obedience. Give us a heart to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together, if you need to come to the altar, why don't you just come talk to God about it?